the second chapter of Joel. And this evening we commence to read at verse 21. Joel 2 and verse 21. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. May God richly bless to us that reading from his holy word. Last week, you will remember, we went verse by verse from verse 12 on to verse 20. It was a wooing call from Jehovah to genuine repentance. One pointed out that such is the grace of our God that no sinner or backslider who sincerely comes to the Lord will ever be turned away. Everyone will obtain mercy, and everyone will obtain forgiveness. Their eternal future will be secure. There is no doubt about that. Repentant sinners coming back to the Lord, their eternal security is assured. However, this does not mean that they will necessarily escape chastisement in this life. The penal aspect of one's salvation and the governmental hand of God in chastisement are not one and the same. They're two entirely different things. Sometimes a true believer in a backslidden state will fall into sin and by their folly create a situation from which they cannot disentangle themselves. Such as David did in his sin with Bathsheba. In consequence of the sowing of wild oats, then a harvest in this life may well be inevitable. Should this be so, provided that person walks humbly with their God, then his grace will be sufficient for them, however difficult the pathway may be. What is more, as we saw last time, God is sovereign. And who knoweth, says the prophet, who knoweth? He may even mitigate the chastisement by leaving a blessing behind him. We saw this to be the truth of verse 14. And then as we went along, I sought to point out the meaning of each remaining verse till we came to the close of verse 20. He hath done great things, whether in grace or in wrath. God will always be magnified in the final. This then should be sufficient by way of link up. We come now to verse 21. Fear not, O land. Notice the words carefully. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. The remaining verses of this book must be amongst the most difficult to interpret in the whole of the Bible. In fact, the whole of the prophecy of Joel is not an easy book to understand. I have spent many long days on these three chapters. At the commencement of chapter 2, the people are bidden to tremble. Now it is, fear not, rejoice. You see, the picture swings from the locusts and all that terrifying devastation to a happier scene. Verse 22, be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. You see, the beasts of the field for long had groaned with hunger due to the fact that these myriads of insects had consumed all the vegetation. These beasts had no sustenance whatsoever. But now, the wilderness was going to spring. There was hope even for perishing brute beasts. Now, in all this, we are to see spiritual significance as well as actual physical and historical meaning. Oh, these things happened. The locusts did devour. The beasts were starving. Now the picture swings. The desert was to blossom. The wilderness was to spring. The beasts of the field would know sustenance again. But whilst this was historical, it's authentic history. It actually happened. But there is spiritual significance. If not, then how could these things be written for our learning? We wouldn't learn anything from that, just the historical record. That which these happenings prefigured, they are of infinite importance. Now I should point out that when the prophet spoke, invariably, and I'm referring to all the prophets now, when they spoke, invariably, do their words have reference to the whole of the kingdom of God? That is, from the very beginning to the end. Certain parts of their prophesying or incidents which they record may pertain to the commencement of Christ's kingdom. Other things might predict things which will happen towards the close. And sometimes both the inauguration and the termination are contained in just one verse. And so you see, it can be that just a few sentences of Scripture can cover centuries or even millenniums of human history. It is essential that we appreciate and that we understand this, or otherwise we'll often be in a right old muddle. So it is in verse 22. Whilst Joel is speaking of hope for perishing brute beasts, promising them pastures again in their wilderness, he is also holding out spiritual hope for men and women in a day to come. Now, Dr. John Gill believed that it was the Gentiles which were in view here. Well, true it is that the Gentiles are likened unto animals. Indeed, they are referred to as dogs in other scriptures. So with this in view, let me now bring in verse 23, following right on from verse 22. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, the latter rain in the first month. Now Gill says, here is a distinction, or here is a contrast. The beasts are the Gentiles in verse 22, and the Jews are the children of Zion in verse 23. And we should note that neither are to fear. Be not afraid, ye beasts. Be glad and rejoice, ye children of Zion. Neither are to fear. Both can rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. There is to be great fruitfulness in what was wilderness. Now this is spiritual as to its full and its true meaning. It is pointing on to the coming of Christ and to gospel days, as we are more clearly to see as we proceed over the coming weeks. Indeed we shall. Look at the latter half now of verse 23. He hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. He will cause to come down for you the rain. Now, those of you who have marginal references in your Bible will see that the Greek which underlies our authorized version can equally correctly be translated, he hath given you a teacher of righteousness. He hath given you a teacher of righteousness. The marginal reference of the authorized version. Well, who is this? Why, it is Christ himself being promised. He is to give a teacher of righteousness. God was to send forth and give his Son. He was the former rain who would come down upon this arid wilderness and bring such fruitfulness and spiritual life. Come down for you, says the prophet. A teacher sent from God. John 3 and verse 2. I mustn't intrude into next Lord's Day morning's sermon here. There, he is styled by Nicodemus, no doubt in his ignorance. But he said, as he referred to the Lord Jesus, he was a teacher sent from God. God is to give a teacher of righteousness, says the Spirit of God through Joel. He is to give his Son. He is to come down. A teacher of righteousness indeed. A teacher of righteousness indeed. He had the Spirit of wisdom, says the Scripture. Yea, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge were in him. He declared the Father. No man hath seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. He told out the very heart of God. He told out the eternal purposes of God. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in his Son, a teacher of righteousness. He not only declared, but he fulfilled all righteousness in his life as man. He not only taught righteousness, he fulfilled righteousness. Was he not the Son of Righteousness? S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness. And did he not have healing in his wings? It was he who brought healing to this blighted, sin-scarred earth, causing springs in the desert, causing the wilderness to spring spiritually. Oh, listen to that glorious word as it is recorded in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32 and verse 2. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 2. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Wonderful imagery. Does it not touch the hearts of those of us that live in rural areas, particularly those of us that have an agricultural background? We know what this means. We know what the natural rain does, what the dew will do. But here it's my doctrine, the teacher of righteousness. My doctrine shall drop as the dew. My speech, a drop as the rain rather, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. My doctrine. Yes, what doctrine did this teacher of righteousness sent from God bring to men? I think of Isaiah, another prophet, to Judah. And in chapter 61 of his prophecy, in verse 1, he says this. It's concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, the teacher of righteousness. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord Jehovah hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. And again in chapter 55 of his book, Isaiah 55 and verse 10, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Ah, true. Joel was speaking of the recovery of the earth, the literal earth in Judah, after the locust plague. But his words had a far greater meaning than just the material. He sees afar off the coming Messiah, the Savior and Redeemer, the one anointed of God, the one who would come down as the rain. He would come down to preach good tidings. This was his doctrine. To bind up the wounds of broken-hearted sinners, to proclaim the message of liberty to captives, those held by the devil, and not only to proclaim liberty to them, but to open the prison doors which held them, and to loose their shackles and set them free. This is the rain. This is the rain, beloved, which cometh down from heaven. It comes from God, friends. It comes from God. It is a divine gift. It is sovereignly bestowed. This rain falls according to divine direction. Sometimes here, and sometimes there. Some it refreshes, others it does not. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Just like this. We shall be looking at this in a few weeks on Sunday mornings as we go on through John chapter 3. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou canst not tell from whither it cometh or whither it goeth, so is every one that's born of the Spirit. This is how the word of God is that goes forth. But who is blessed and who is not our concern. That pertains to the secret will of God. That all pertains to the everlasting covenant, which is secret to us. We are commissioned to go into the world and preach the gospel to all men. Many are called. It's the general call. Few are chosen. They're known to God. We don't know. And it's not our concern. All we need to be concerned over is this, that the word of God never returns unto him void. Never. That is invalid or ineffectual. Never. It is never ineffectual. It always accomplishes that which God pleases. You see, it is to some a savor of life unto life. To others, it is a savor of death unto death. To the elect, it is the word of salvation. To the reprobate, it is a word of condemnation. And God is glorified either way. Yea, God is glorified both ways. Verse 24. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. This is the effect, and we're speaking of the literal meaning of the prophecy. First, this is the effect which the rain would have upon the soil, the actual soil of Judah, following the devastation of the locusts. The wilderness would produce to the degree, that is, as it appeared, because the fruitful land of Judah, after the invasion of these locusts, appeared just as a wilderness. But this which appeared as a wilderness would produce again to the degree that the granaries would be filled. Yea, they would overflow. This was cause for rejoicing indeed to this nation at a physical level after such a dearth. Yes, but it is the spiritual, I say again, which is the message that we must see. A day was to come. Indeed, a day was to come when there would not be just one central point for the gathering of the worship of Jehovah, such as it was at that time in Jerusalem. The day would come when there would not be just the one central point, not just one spot where God had placed his name and where was manifest his presence, but floors, plural. Companies of God's people gathering to his name throughout the world. Churches built, note the words, built upon Christ, founded upon truth, based upon the word of God, based upon the teaching of the teacher of righteousness, with he, the great head, in their midst, everywhere where they are gathered faithfully to his name. floors indeed, full of wheat. Floors full of wheat. Now you will note, Joel does not mention those with mixture of tares and wheat, which we've seen plenty of as we've come through Hosea and Amos in particular. No, Joel is speaking of floors of wheat. He doesn't countenance the places where there is mixture, such as Bethel and Dan, which has been before us so much. He speaks only of the floors of true wheat. These shall overflow with wine and oil. Overflow with wine and oil. In these companies, the grace of God abounds. The wine speaks of joy, doesn't it? The wine, the true joy of the Lord, and the joy of his salvation. In the midst of these floors, this, the joy of the Lord, is their strength. Nehemiah tells us. This joy, it's their strength. Oil. The Holy Spirit is upon them. He is not grieved in their lives. He's not grieved in their assemblings. The Spirit of the Lord is there. And there's liberty. That's why there's joy. You can't divorce these things, you see. His refreshing dew, the refreshing dew of the Holy Spirit, is upon their ministry. It's resting upon their witness and upon their testimony. The small rain of which Deuteronomy, the writer of the book of Deuteronomy speaks, the small rain is upon them, to the degree that their witness and testimony overflows. It runs out far, far beyond their floors. Yes, in the providence of God, it can flow, beloved, we know not where. Because the wind bloweth where it listeth. It'll carry the word whithersoever God will have it carried. Have we not proved it here in the tape ministry? Who would have thought from this small place that the word of God goes throughout the United Kingdom? On an average 40 to 50 sermons a week. And we know not the people to where it goes. It overflows. Oh, this should encourage us. Verse 25. And I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. Now here we come back to the nation of Judah again, and to the earthly, the terrible scourge of the locusts. Regardless of all the warnings which God had given, which we've seen as we've come through, regardless of all his pleadings and his appeals, this people would not hear. And it was not until the threatened judgment fell that they repented and came back. Did I not point out last week in conclusion the folly of this? Why do not backsliders heed the Lord's warnings? Why do they not respond to his wooing appeals? Why wait for his governmental arm to come in chastisement? However, at last, the wayward in Judah returned. Through repentance, all which had been lost was restored. I say, what grace! all that had been lost was restored. Oh, what grace is set forth again here, beloved. Whether in a believer or in the unregenerate, sin is sin. I repeat that. Whether in a believer or in the unregenerate, sin is sin. Indeed, I have said before, and I believe this to be true, that sin is more heinous in a Christian even than in a worldling. Sin, oh, let us never forget this. Sin merits hell. Sin forfeits heaven. Yet God, through Christ, restores the sinner. He blots out all the sin. He does away with its eternal consequences in Christ. And he replaces the sinner where he was before he fell, even to a more exalted position. And this is so with the backslider also. He will restore that backslider to the position into which he was before he fell. But again I say, sin is sin, and it always has to be dealt with in the same way. There is only one fountain for sin and for uncleanness, and that is at Calvary. Be a person saved or unsaved, all come to that one spot. And it is here, at Calvary, that God, for Christ's sake, forgives. Here and only here can restoration take place. And it is restoration. It is restoration. Oh, what a word is contained in Ezekiel. Oh, we need to keep all the word of God intact, but particularly the prophets. We need to go into the major prophets when studying the minor prophets to get the full meaning of times. Ezekiel chapter 18, there we see what kind of a restoration is wrought in the hearts of sinners and backsliders. Ezekiel 18 and verse 21, but if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. They shall not be mentioned unto him. When a backslider returns, for it is backsliders which are in focus here in Joel, backsliding Judah. When a backslider returns, all is forgiven, and all transgression committed shall not be mentioned. The backslider's love will return again. We sang just now, where is the blessedness I knew? This is the language of the soul that's away from God. Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is that soul-refreshing view of Jesus and his word? When a backslider returns, his love will be restored again. It'll return to him. That is where there is true repentance. Ah, yes, true is the operative word. What did we read in Ezekiel? If he returns, he is to keep the statutes. Oh, he's not to come in and go out again. No, no. The Christian life is not an in and out business. If he backslides, he comes back. He should learn the lesson. Yes, true repentance is the operative word. Let me remind you of those verses which were before us last week again, verses 12 and 13 of chapter 2. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful. It's not to be something outward, something demonstrative. It's to be from the heart, genuine, true, sincere repentance. Beloved, have we not all got many years which the locusts have eaten? Oh, it may not have been open sin. It may have been years of ignorance. It may have been years of spiritual indifference. It may have been years when we were misinformed. Indeed, we thought we were right, and everyone else was wrong. And in spiritual pride, we stuck to our ground. But now in later life, we have discovered that much of that which we believed and much which we stood for was not right at all. Now we see the truth as it is in the Word of God. But alas, the major part of our lives is gone. Oh, the wasted years. If only we could have our life over again, but we cannot. We cannot. Fear not. Fear not is the word of God to us this evening through Joel. Be glad, ye children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God. For saith our God, I will restore to you those years which the locusts have eaten. I'll restore them to you. Seeing that you have now come back in true repentance and sorrow for those wasted years, then I will see to it that in no way you will lose out. Beloved, what grace. Well put are the words of Samuel Davis in his hymn. Who is a pardoning God like thee? Or who has grace so rich and free? Verse 26, and ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Ah, yes, God has dealt wondrously with us, beloved. Many years which the locusts have eaten, they're restored to us. God has done wondrously. What provision there is for returning prodigals. The fatted calf will always be killed when backsliding sons come home. Oh why do God's erring children stay away from him? Why will they not return to him and to truth? The fullness which resides in Christ Jesus, our Lord, can never be estimated. They can never be fathomed. His grace, his mercy, his goodness, his tender compassion, it's all extended to you and to me, my brother, my sister. Or if I am addressing a backslider, even at this moment, why do you stay away in the far country? If only you will repent and come back, the Lord will deal wondrously with you. Never will you be ashamed. Never. Verse 27. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Ashamed to come back. Yes, the backslider may be. But friend, your God is waiting. Yea, he's longing to hear those words from you. I will arise and go to my Father. Return, O wanderer, return, and seek a father's melting heart, whose pitying eyes thy grief discerns, whose hand can heal thine inward smart. Return, O wanderer, return. He heard thy deep repentant sigh. He saw thy softened spirit mourn when no intruding ear was nigh. May the Lord graciously use this word to restore any who may be out in the cold, out of touch, and away from the Lord. Amen. Hymn number 794. 794. O Jesus, full of truth and grace, more full of grace than I have sinned, yet once again I seek thy face, open thine arms and take me in, and freely my backslidings heal, and love the faithless sinner still. 794. So, our God, may thy word come in power to all of us who hear it. May none trifle with such a message. If any be away, if any in coming days will hear this message, maybe in the quietness of their homes, if they be away from thee, loving Father, bring them back. We pray for the Holy Spirit's power to attend the going forth of thy word. We know that it will accomplish thy purpose wheresoever it is sent, wheresoever in thy providence it is carried. Oh, forbid, loving Father, that it should fall upon hardened ground. We pray that it might result in the restoration of many that are away from thee. So may it be re-preached again and again as we commit it into thy hands.